This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey, ducky.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Rosenberg, Jerry. Welcome to ENN.
Ray Rowe.
Which tonight is brought to you by Sloman's and Casa Noble. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
That's why he has this job, Peter.
What?
That's why he has this job, Peter. Yeah.
Peter?
Peter. That's worrisome, isn't it, Don?
Well, you stroke meaning or just...
No, I don't know about that, but just maybe it's time for him to go.
Oh.
I've been saying that. I mean, I don't say you're wrong.
Let's say good evening
to Don. My performance is really, really going downhill.
Let's say good evening to Don.
So I can expose the armpit and then I go in?
Sounds strange. And then I'd like to say good evening to Michael again.
Wee.
And good evening to myself. Who'd you tell us we know we have?
The Yankees.
I was aware it was the Yankees, Don.
We're having fun. I'm sorry.
Ray Rowe.
Where do you want to start?
I'm here.
You want to start with Gerard Gallant?
Why not?
He says he has no issue with the disallowed goal that a lot of Rangers fans believe cost him last night against the Penguins.
No, I'd like to say I do, but you know what? It was going the other way in a 3-3 hockey game. It was, you know, to me, it was 50-50 call, and I sort of felt it was going to go against us. So I can't argue with that.
Pretty classy stance, and also pretty shrewd because he doesn't want his team fixating on that. Just play the next game.
See, that's the refs to be fixating on you.
That's a good point, Michael, because, yeah, he probably felt that it was – maybe deep down inside he felt it was the wrong call. But you start making it about the officials, then all of a sudden it lets the team off the hook. And there's a lot they need to work on for tomorrow's game. And if they start fixating on, oh, the officials are against us, then they're not working on or focusing on the things they should.
Let's hear Gallant being asked about the officiating generally.
There probably should have been a couple calls made, definitely when you look back at it and look at it, but... Again, we're not going to complain. We're going to go play our game, and obviously disappointed that they got the 5-on-3, and you know, so there's a couple hits like that. But you know what? You move on. You play the game. That wasn't the difference in a hockey game. We just got to make sure we play better for 60 minutes. We'll be fine.
Can I tell you something, guys?
Sure.
Please.
We had a great conversation with Valley earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
We broke it all down to a fine powder.
He broke some walls, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
But
no respect for radio.
I gotta say, I didn't want to be disrespectful because, A, who am I? I'm a hack-a-doodle-doo, and this
True.
Is a man who knows the game.
Yep.
But I did not agree with him, Don. I really didn't. I really felt like Kako was on his way into the goalie without much help. I feel like the way it was described gave a little bit too much credit to the push. Like I didn't think Dumoulin hit him that hard, and I didn't think he completely had his stick wrapped around him. I think it was the right call. I was surprised to hear his take on it,
especially when you hear the description from the league saying about the path to the blue with the blue crease. But it's amazing. Even after Valley, you had people saying he's out of his mind. You could see the skate was towards the crease, and then other people will say no. You could see he's turning away. It's subjective, people. It's like. Pass interference in football, it's all in the eye of the beholder. That's why it should not be reviewable. Reviewable should be black and white. Did the puck cross the line? Was the skate offside? That's what you do. It's safe for out. Not pass interference, not goaltender interference. Because you sit there and conclusive. Well, what's conclusive and what's not conclusive? You could talk to 100 people. 50 will see it one way, 50 will see it the other. How do you get conclusive? That's the problem. And that I can hear in the background, even though
Yeah, well,
distant.
Listen, Bear's very, very worked up on this subject.
Bear!
Rocky! What are you guys talking about?
They're on a play date, Michael. The dogs are on a play date.
What this young man has to handle, just, you know, the life that he's chosen. Hey.
Now listen, but, I'd do it again.
Isn't it funny, Michael? What does that say? The guy doing the radio show gets to watch the dogs. It's almost like she's saying, well, you're not working today.
it is a little selfish of Miss Hatton, I'll tell you
that. Hold on. I don't do this very often. And Bear!
You do it more than you should.
Well, listen, apparently so. Let me deal with that. In the meantime, let's hear from Draymond Green and his reaction to the Memphis fans last night.
You're going to boot somebody who get elbowed in the eye and face running on blood, you should get flipped off. So I'll take the fine. I'll go do an appearance and make up the money. But it felt really good to flip them off. You're going to boo someone that get elbowed in the eye and blood running down your face? I could have had a concussion or anything. So if they're gonna be that nasty, I can be nasty too. And I'm assuming the cheers was because they know I'll get fined. Great, I make $25 million a year. I should be just fine.
Classy.
Awful look, Draymond.
Am I a bad guy? I didn't mind it.
Yeah, that's what people want to know. Is I make $25 million a year. I don't care. So it's still like what we talked about with Kyrie. So you're sinking down to those people's level. And so obviously you can't discipline them with fines because they make so much money. So what does it matter?
I'm going to give a lot of credit to Don. He's almost like a soothsayer.
What do you mean?
Well, the artificial force field between fans and players, it's broken now. It's broken. They flip them off. It's not a big deal. And Don said that after the Oscar situation with Will Smith and Chris Rock, comedy is dead. And what happened yesterday to Dave Chappelle? Now there is no more force field between people and other, you know, people on stage. It's a bacchanal.
Right.
It really is. Because there are no rules anymore.
So let me ask you this. You really think Draymond thought about, I can't believe they're booing me and there's blood coming out of my eye. He just enjoyed doing it. He didn't like getting booed. And what do you expect? How do you expect fans, road fans, to react? So well, they booed you. So what? So you got to give them the finger and then it's okay? Because that's the attention they like to get, Peter. Is it that surprising? Especially him? He's always been a player that obviously opposition fans are not going to love.
No, he likes to mix it up, and that's who he is and how he plays. I will say I agree with you that why would you ever be surprised that you got you're ejected from a game, you're leaving the game, and just because you're hurt on a play, the away fans are not going to boo you? I mean, it'd be one thing if he was – listen, if you guys would agree – if they took him out on a stretcher,
right,
and they were booing him, he has every right to give the middle finger back. That's just downright disgusting. But come on, Draymond.
I don't like throwing the money in everybody's face, too. That's
well, I just like if you're going to go heel, go all the way heel. I got no
but
problem.
But there's such a divide now between fans and players. There just is. I make $25 million, so they can't find me enough for it to hurt. I mean,
that's not where it starts. That's not where it starts.
What do you
the
mean?
The players are not the one who have broken the line between the fans and the players. That's the fans.
No, I agree.
The fans are out of control.
And you
don't want the players
to
respond.
You can't fine a player enough. You're not legally allowed with the collective bargaining agreement to fine a player enough where it would hurt them. You can't. So they're going to do whatever they want.
Yeah, but my point is it's always in response to fans being outlandish.
Well, I've told you that fans are terrible with that. They feel that they buy a ticket, they could do and say whatever they want.
But
both sides have crumbled. There's no moral compass anymore.
But here's the problem. Just like with Kyrie, how out of line really were they? They booed him because his eye was bleeding? Like that's the level now? And you know what? Here's the problem with the whole offended. You have the whole idea of, oh, my God, people are easily offended. But what also now is happening is that you can claim you're offended and then be allowed to do whatever you want. Well, why did you give the finger to the fans? Oh, because I was offended. I was offended that I could have had a concussion and they were booing me. So it almost gives you a license. It's like, well, don't get mad at me. I was offended. So being offended allows you now to be as bad as they were? or even up in a notch, because he didn't say anything that was done other than booing. Well, I'm sorry, if that's all it takes for you to give the finger to the fans, then what would happen if there was a fan that screams something? What's next? You're going to just climb into the stands and go after the guy?
Well, that has happened, but Don.
No, I know, but in this particular case,
Anthony, you just played a drop.
And swore at me.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically you as Draymond.
No.
It affected you quite a bit.
No, but it affected me, but it didn't affect me where I swore back. I mean, we had that. I'm not saying he has to be happy about it, but to give the finger and get the fine and then just play it off like, oh, I'll just make an appearance and make it up. Like, shove it in everybody's face how much money you make.
Well, listen,
don't equate it to what I did with John. What I did with John, that's good radio, a little exchange back and forth. I mean, it might have gotten heated, but I don't think I was out of line. I didn't swear at him. If that was done, like, at the beach bash, would then I be able to, like, jump into the crowd and attack him or give him the finger back if he said no?
Well, the league has
to
do a better job.
How dare you describe that, compare that?
the league has to do a better job, though, putting rules in place so fans know they cannot do certain things. I'm not saying that booing Draymond was it, and I don't think that the behavior – Kyrie would have told us if the behavior was really that bad. I think in these two cases, there really isn't that much there. But I do think there's a chance there's a heightened sensitivity in general because of other crazy fan things we've seen across sports.
Okay. But I understand that. What happened at the Yankee game when fans start throwing garbage on the field, that clearly a line was crossed. You know, somebody throwing out racial terms or somebody physically leaving the stands and going, yeah, you crossed the line. Booing? That's all you have to do is boo. Come on, this is ridiculous now.
Let's speaking of ridiculous, how would you describe what happened earlier with Madison Bumgarner?
Strange.
So, Michael, this was done under the guise of checking him for sticky stuff?
Yes. Every pitcher has to come off the mound after an inning, and their hand is checked. Closers get their hand checked before the inning.
But in this specific circumstance, the umpire checking out Madison Bumgarner decided to rub his hand almost gently, almost like a hand massage, for about five seconds while staring at him before Bumgarner got upset. They exchanged words, and Bumgarner was promptly ejected. Here's Bumgarner on the unusual situation.
Have you ever had a hand check quite like that?
No. I haven't seen one like that.
What do you think that he was doing there?
You seen the video. You seen the video. I've seen the video. I was there. It's you guys see it plain as day.
Do you think it was a direct kind of reaction to your comments toward the home plate umpire?
I don't know. I don't want to speak for Dan, but like I said, you guys all seen it, and you can go back and see it all again. It's pretty clear.
Do you have any history with Dan at all?
I don't, not that I know of. I don't know.
If there's no history there, it was bizarre. Even more, wouldn't you agree? Like, if they have some sort of thing, then even though it's wrong, and I believe punishable for the umpire, I'm just saying from a mental, emotional standpoint, I can understand. He was being like a jerk to Bumgarner intentionally. If they literally have no relationship to speak of, guys, that to me might be a guy who's not altogether well.
It's they're so protected, the umpires. Why isn't Dan Bellino forced to answer questions about this?
I know.
And by the way, we have to send out birthday wishes to Jar from Oz.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Jar.
Happy birthday, buddy.
What a great job you do for us, helping out with all of our graphics on the bets. Fantastic.
Yeah, he's the best. But here's the issue with Mad Bum is that he has really bad body language. Like, if he doesn't like a call, he will show it. I'm sure that's probably what the umpire would be like. He felt he was probably showed up on a couple of pitches that didn't go his way, even in the first inning. And Mad Bum's not going to think anything of it because he probably doesn't realize he's even doing it. But he sends off, Michael, really bad messages body language-wise. You could tell when he's unhappy.
True, but there was no need for that because
he was
antagonizing him.
No, but I'm just saying is that he, Mad Bum saying he doesn't know the history, that might be the history. Plus, Mad Bum does this really annoying thing, guys, when he needs to clear something out of his nose. He just sends these snot rockets out.
Oh,
on the
wow.
Mound. Yeah, it's not great.
Like, that's fun to see.
Where he holds the one side down and then it's not what
isn't that crazy?
It's the only way to do it.
I know,
but I don't need...
It is weird to do it publicly like that.
Oh, are you supposed to do that in your bedroom?
What?
Well, just don't do it when anybody wants you.
That's he's on the pitcher's mound. Like he's in front of the whole stadium.
He's got to clear his nose, man.
All right, so you can't
Yeah, well, there are times when I'm sure, you know, Don feels the desire to be flatulent, but he doesn't just do it in the middle of the radio show.
You know what? I used to work with him. He did.
No, during commercials.
Yeah, well, before... No. He would just let him rip in the show.
Listen, you try to get away with what you can get away with. But it's not like, you know, I put the microphone down there and said, hey, guys, check this out.
It's been a long time since anyone's tried to get away with anything. I forgot. Honestly, been so long, I forgot. Now, Michael, what did you say? What was the name of the journeyman third-string goalie the Penguins brought in?
I forget.
Don?
Oh, Domingue.
No. Oh, Louis Domingue.
That's right.
I thought you meant the emergency goalie.
No, but that was for the Rangers.
Louis Domingue. Yeah, Louis Domingue.
There's got to be baseball ones, Michael, that for whatever reason, it just rings better. It hits different when you give the full name.
Michael K.
Let's hear from Domingue.
Louis Domingue.
Let's hear from Louis Domingue on the meal that he ate between the first and second overtimes.
I actually had quite the meal in between the first and the second overtime. I didn't expect going in, but maybe it sustained my energy, so it was cool, though. It was cool to be part of that.
You say quite the meal. What was it?
You know, some spicy pork and broccoli. Not the best.
Don, he has to be a player after your own heart now. That's a dish you would order on a Friday night.
So I'm just trying to think of, because, like, what happens? You don't, none of that stuff. I guess the Rangers can provide something from the suite or whatever.
Not but the best.
I've covered games because the best thing for carbs, because you need carbs, right?
Right.
Is just get pizza. And I've seen them like go like across the street and get like pizza and just bring it on over. I don't know where he got a spicy pork. Oh, could he even talking about, because isn't, what's the chain Chinese restaurant?
Ollie's?
Panda Express. There's a Panda Express across the street from the Garden. You think that's what they got?
I'm trying to think of...
Like, do they have a spicy pork dish?
Well, I'm looking at the food and beverage guide for MSG. He didn't get Mighty Quinn's. He didn't have Mike's Hot Honey. He didn't have Top Dog Hot Dogs. He didn't have Big Gay Ice Cream. He didn't have Pauly G's. What about, Garden Market? Possible?
Well... I don't know if it's still open. I haven't noticed in a while, but there was a Panda Express right on 8th Avenue and 31st. That sounds like that's where they went.
There's Japanese cuisine at the Garden of Kobayaki, but they're not going to have Chinese dishes. There's a sushi place.
Well, you can get is spicy pork a Japanese dish too?
I don't think so. When I hear spicy pork, I think Chinese dish, but I could be wrong. I know a culinary expert. Either way, I just love the idea that was the meal. Everything about hockey is awesome. Playoff hockey just...
I wish you loved the sport the way I do.
I know, but man, did it come out of... Like, talk about coming out smoking hot. Really awesome. By the way, speaking of smoking hot, how about the Boston Celtics last night?
How about that?
You love to see a bounce back, don't you? I did.
A thorough thrashing.
It was a thrashing, and... A particularly impressive thrashing by young Jaylen Brown. 25 points in the first half, I think 5 for 5 from 3-point. Just an awesome, awesome performance as the Celtics bounce back, win 109-86. Should have bet them last night. Giannis still scored 28 points, but didn't shoot great from the field. The Celtics were just better from the moment the game started. They got 30 from Jaylen Brown. They got 29 from Jason Tatum. By the way, I was watching a clip on social media earlier of Jason Tatum's son, Deuce, helping him get ready for the game. Andrew, don't you feel like Deuce is like turning into the new Riley Curry of the NBA?
Oh, my. Wow, that is – I mean, Riley Currie is like the gold standard of players' children. That's incredible praise that you're putting on him.
Well, listen, he's had performances at post-game pressers. He's out on the court before the game helping his dad stretch. Don, do you want to feel old? Andrew, I'm sure you've already experienced this. I don't know if Don has. Have you seen what Riley Currie looks like now?
No. I'm sure he looks like he's 40.
Well, he is a she, and she is –
I know she was at the press conferences,
yes,
but I just didn't remember the sex. I apologize.
And she has, and she's a grown child. I cannot believe. So how long ago was that, Andrew, where she was sitting all the pressers with him? 7, 8 years already?
Well, 15, right? Probably 15. So that was 7 years ago.
So she probably went from 4 to 11 years old or
That's
12
a big
years
deal.
Old. She when they show her now at games, she's just scrolling on her cell phone. It's bizarro world. Andrew, how are you feeling about your game tonight, Philly and Miami game two?
Not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
What would it be in particular? What's the number one thing? Is it the fact that...
Oh, the whole Embiid thing.
Is it the Embiid?
You know, arguably the best player in the NBA not being available, and the Sixers kind of just having... Well, their backup center option is kind of zero. Doc Rivers continues to play DeAndre Jordan in the series, which makes... No sense. It's not good.
James Harden? Is he at least stepping up, you think, to help you guys tonight?
Well, game one, he didn't.
Okay.
Game six, to close out against Toronto, he was very good.
There you go.
But shouldering the load in game one, he was not good. And I don't know. The sample size is pretty large right now with Harden, and it kind of feels like he's entering a different phase of his career where he's just not that guy. Not good.
It's not. That was very good. It's not apples to apples, but a championship without Embiid, could it be at the same level of a championship without Carson Wentz?
It's funny you bring that. I was having that conversation with my dad 2 nights ago. We were comparing the two and which one is more improbable. And I think this would be more improbable. The only solace I take in the Embiid injury is that I don't think they were good enough to win the title even with him. So, I mean, it still stinks. Like, you'd like to see how far they could have gone. And he may come back, but at that point it might be too late. The Wentz thing, that one really hurt because I wound up being wrong, but I thought that was going to cost them a Super Bowl. Like, I really thought with Wentz that was the best team in football. They still wound up being that. But I don't think the Sixers are. It's just I just feel bad for Embiid. It's every year, it's something else with him. And these are weird injuries, you know, like weird collisions.
Yeah, he's got two, right?
In this postseason alone, yeah,
right.
he was playing with the torn thumb ligament, and it seemed like he was going to be able to play through that. He looked great in Game 6, and then this happens. You know, up 29 with 3:58 to go in a closeout game.
And how do you feel about Doc for him being in the game?
I was going back and forth on it. I was, do I want to blame him, put it on? I have settled on, yes, I do blame Doc. With nice. 8 minutes to go, with 8.5 to go, a foul was called. The Sixers were up 26 points, I think, at that point. They could have taken him out there. And I know Doc has a weird history of blowing leads. The Sixers have a weird history of blowing playoff leads. So I understand them being sensitive about it. But fine, leave in Maxey, Harden, Tobias Harris. And if it gets down to 12, you bring Embiid back in with 4 to go.
I agree. In every situation like that, I don't understand. Don, Michael would call it one thing. Professional malfeasance.
And I think that would be accurate.
Let's continue ENN on the other side. I want to play you, if you didn't hear what Joe Shane said on the program earlier, I want to
Joe
play
that for you. Joe
That's exactly right. Plus, maybe, Don, the most expensive piece of sports memorabilia ever sold.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. And ENN tonight's brought to you by Sloman's. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME to receive a free doorbell camera with the installation of your Sloman Shield. Keep your family safe. Call 1-800-ALARM-ME and Casa Noble. Sit back and celebrate Cinco de Mayo the Noble way with Casa Noble tequila, the perfect tequila for all of life's meaningful moments. More ENN next on 98.7 ESPN. I don't do this very often. And
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
This is important news to follow up on the story we were just telling about the pork and broccoli meal.
Some spicy pork and broccoli. Not the best.
So here's what I don't like. So that's Louis Domingue, the Penguins' backup goalie. And it's being reported now by Mike DeFabo. He said, like a good reporter, I tracked down the spot where the Penguins got the infamous spicy pork and broccoli. Not so good was Louis' review. He actually said not the best. The name of the restaurant is It's All Good. But Don, I would like to contend that Domingue is not saying the food wasn't good. He's saying the meal choice wasn't good. Is that what you...
Not the best. Like, that's not, you know, wasn't ideal for him to have.
Right.
That's the way I took it. And I guess, what was the name of the place again, Anthony?
It's All Good.
No. Place is the little beat. What's on the wall inside of the place is that it's all good. And, of course, Louis Domingue gives them their trademark.
Not the best.
So that's good, too.
He didn't mean that. It should also be noted, the spicy pork and broccoli, if this is in fact the place, it's actually not a spicy pork and broccoli. It's a braised pork and charred broccoli.
Well, spicy was the problem then, wasn't it?
Perhaps.
I guess that it just wasn't his ideal meal.
That's what I assumed. I wonder how they landed on that.
Is that by the Garden?
Yeah, there's one on Broadway, not too far. Now, if you guys didn't listen earlier, we had the giant GM.
Sure.
How do you say
Joe Skihoang.
He joined us earlier, and we talked to him about many things. You should listen to the whole podcast. But
do it.
We also learned that the Giants are playing Green Bay in London this year, and here's Joe Skihoang's thoughts.
As much as I love going to Lambeau and the history there, haven't had a lot of success playing there, and that's a tough place to play, especially as you get later into the season. Regardless what time of year, it's hard to play there, but it's specifically once it gets cold.
The Queen of England knocked on my...
So, what do you think about that, Don? Do you prefer the trip to London versus the trip to Lambeau?
Listen, would it be easier to beat the Packers in London than Lambeau? Probably. But just all the moving parts that go into having to go there. Listen, I would love to go. Sounds like it's a really cool place. But in the middle of a football season, to go all the way out there, do all the PR stuff you have to do, play a really good football team when you're probably not going to be as good a football team. It's a lot.
But I do think that, like, London's a bit of an equalizer. Like, those games are so hard to call. So if the Giants are substantially worse than the Packers, which we would agree they probably will be. Although this Packer team is very new also. But assuming that's the case, I prefer it to Lambeau, I think.
Yes. But you're right. Sometimes it depends on the pitch. I know when the Giants were out there against the Dolphins the year the Giants won the Super Bowl in 2011, I think it was, because I don't think it was 2007. It was like a 14-7 game. It was very sloppy, ugly. And so maybe that helps a team that might go into that game like a 7-point underdog. Told by people that Little Beat at one point was in Penn Station. Could it still be in Penn Station? And then that would make more sense than going all the way to Broadway.
It could be in Penn Station.
Because that's what I would think you would do, right? If you're going to run, just run into Penn Station and just, you know, grab the first thing you see.
Maybe
you don't have a lot of time.
Maybe go to Michael Scott's favorite pizza restaurant, Sbarro's.
And listen, and yours, you worked there for quite some time.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say it's my favorite. My favorite's Little Italy on the Upper West Side. But when I'm trying to make a few extra bucks, I like to head over to the Sbarro's.
But back to Skioing, I just think we have to be patient with him. There's a lot to – how are you supposed to turn this around? If Jones – they have to spend an entire season basically focusing on trying to see what Jones is. If Jones doesn't turn out to be the quarterback, you wasted that season. Mm-hmm. And now, what's your alternative? Where are you going? Tyrod Taylor? Trade for a quarterback? I don't think they're going to be bad enough to select in the top five to get the best quarterback next year.
Not good.
I mean, at least with the Maccagnan situation with Douglas, they had the second overall pick. So when they moved on from Sam, all right, we'll take a quarterback. We'll take Zach Wilson. He'll become our next great quarterback, or hope to be our first great quarterback. What are the Giants supposed to do? And he answered it the right way, but that's the thing. It's got to just – I feel like 2022 is going to be just a glorious waste of time unless Daniel Jones turns out to be the man. And would you bet on that? What would BetMGM or FanDuel or DraftKings or the Caesars app would give you on odds that he's the next great quarterback?
Honestly, the next great quarterback at this point, my made-up but I think very smart estimate, he would be plus 2,500.
Yeah. I mean, that's not unfair. And when I say next great quarterback, just that all right, how about this? A quarterback that you would give a contract to at the end of the season.
Okay, a contract to at the end of the season, I'm going to drop that down to plus 1,500.
Okay, I was going to say plus 1,800, but we're in the same neighborhood. We're still talking about incredible odds. Incredible odds. Pick them. So you're likely looking at 22 as being just paused. So now you've got a regime that basically might be wasting, in no fault of their own, one whole season. And now you go into 2023, who's your quarterback? Maybe you get lucky. Maybe you have to make a trade into the top five, draft a quarterback. All right, well, then it's going to take a couple of years for that quarterback to get going. I mean, we might be 3 years into this regime and still not know what the heck's going on. That's why it wasn't a ridiculous thought about kicking the tires on Russell Wilson. Now, I don't know if they could have done that. I don't know if they had the tools to do that, if they had the picks. They certainly had the picks, the cap space, whatever. But that's what they're going to be fishing for. Finding a quarterback. Good luck.
Speaking of which, Ryan Tannehill had an interesting
Tannehill.
Comment.
I might be wrong.
Ryan Tannehill. You probably have heard this by now, Don, that he was asked about being willing to mentor new Titans rook Malik Willis out of Liberty. And a lot of people not so impressed with Tannehill's answer. Let's hear it.
We're competing against each other. We're, you know, watching the same tape. We're doing the same drills. I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but, you know, if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing.
It's not politically correct, but I don't know if it's kill-worthy.
I mean, no. It depends what you mean, I suppose.
Well, here's the thing, is that we may not fancy him as any great shakes, but, you know, Tennessee is a consistent playoff team with him at the helm. So he's probably not thinking about mentoring his replacement. He's thinking about how they can finally get over the hump and win a championship. So I can understand him not thinking, oh, well, we're grooming my replacement already. Am I done? Did I not go to the playoffs the last 2 years? So I get it. Doesn't say he's going to be bad. He's going to learn. But should Ryan Tannehill be mentoring his replacement or trying to compete for a championship next year?
Well, listen, obviously the easy way to say it is to include both, right? Like,
sure.
It was one of those things where I respect his honesty because I could see myself doing the same thing, but I'll also say that afterwards I would be regretful of it.
Well, you also don't know what was told to him after they drafted Willis. Was it, hey, listen, you're our guy, but we just saw an opportunity late in the draft to get what we think is a quality quarterback. Don't worry about mentoring him. He's going to be watching you. We don't even know if he's going to work out. You just focus on being you, trying to win a championship, and he'll watch you and hopefully learn something, you know, down the road. That, remember, he's not even supposed to, even for teams that needed a quarterback, didn't look at Willis as somebody that was going to play right away. So you could look at him as a replacement. What was he drafted in the third round? Is that where you're drafting the next generation of quarterback for your team?
Yeah, it's a great point. It was the third round.
Yeah, so if he was taken in the first round, well, then wait a minute. They're going to expect him to
but
play.
But that's all the more reason, Don, why it was, even though, again, I understand it, it was a dumb move by Tannehill. That it's a dumb. Great situation. Yeah, because it ends up reflecting. You seem selfish. If you at this point, let's just be honest about who Ryan Tannehill is for a second. First of all, he is fine. He is not a quarterback who is beyond reproach and doesn't deserve to have someone else waiting in the wings. Okay, he's not the top tier quarterback in this league. So I think you have to recognize that and actually be aware, sort of self-aware of what your future could be. And because of that, take it in stride and say, hey, I'm going to do what's needed. You know what? Let's continue this on the other side. That'll do it for ENN on this May the 4th. Be with you. More Peter and Don next right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.